You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Ordinary, and we are going to deal with Judas tonight. The word, or should I say the name Judas, led by God, that's what his name means. Judas was probably one of the only disciples that was not from Galilee. He was from Judah, and so he's from a different place than the other disciples. And the real main thing that we know about him is that he is known to be the most wickedest man on the planet. He betrayed Jesus. He betrayed the sinless, spotless Lamb of God who came to die for humanity. And we understand that that was the plan of God. But here is this man that betrayed Jesus. And so he's known as the betrayer. And so whenever you see people using his name, it's always in a negative connotation. I think we mentioned this the other day, that Judas, no one names their kid Judas. The big controversial is this: Jesus picked him. That's the big question. Jesus picked him. This guy wasn't just snuck in there, no one saw him, silent assassin. He actually was picked by Jesus. He was one of the 12 that Jesus picked. And so the Bible shows us that in Matthew 10 verse 4, that he actually was selected. He was one of the disciples. How did one of the disciples that Jesus picked become this infamous, most famous betrayer of all time? Well, let's find out. John 12 verse 1, the Bible says, "But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in." Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing in this service. Father, we realize that we can do nothing without you. Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts. Lord, let us learn from this man's demise. Let's see, Father, from the traitor's heart, Lord, a direction we do not want to go in. Father, and if we're already starting to go down this road, I pray that you'd bring us back in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
Judas is a guy that spent just as much time with Jesus as all the other disciples. We do not see any favoritism from Jesus. He spent all, it's not like Jesus just met him once and Peter, James and John, they were with Jesus, you know, for the 3 years. But no, Judas spent just as much time really as all the disciples. But how does this man become a betrayer? I want to say the first point I want to make is this, is that basically he's spending time with Jesus, like basically you're letting the clock run out. You're running the clock. What I mean by that, like when you go to a job, sometimes on a Friday afternoon, you know that at 5 o'clock you're going to leave. It's like 3 o'clock and you're really just not in the mood for working anymore. How many ever felt that Friday afternoon feeling? And you're just really letting the clock run out. You're just there chilling, pretend like you're doing something. You know, you're just, you know, looking at BBC News, sports, checking the you know, who's going to be playing football. But really, you should be working. But you're like, you know what, I've given them a good 4.5 days worth of work. I deserve just to chill out. So you're letting the clock run out. You're there, but you're not there. You're just really allowing time to go by. This is what Judas did. Judas just really allowed time to go by Why do I say that? It's because he never got to know Jesus. He's with the disciples. He's just like with Peter, just like with James, just like with John. He's with them, but he's not actually get that time that you're with Jesus, you're not actually getting to know him. You're not actually getting to know him. What this is that you're around church. You're coming to church. You're around church. You're around the Bible. You know, it's not foreign to you. Bible verses. Greater is he than is in that is in you than is in the world. You could finish all the, no weapon formed against me. You could finish all of these things. You're around church and Bible. But are you using that opportunity to get to know Jesus more? Because this is Judas. Judas is in church, you know. He's with Jesus. He's with the disciples. He's in church day in and day out. He's you know, he's got a Bible, you know, we could say. That type of, let's bring it to the modern. The sad thing is, you know, people have a Bible and they're not getting to know Jesus anymore. That's really sad that we have a Bible, but you're not getting to know Jesus anymore. You don't know who he is. You don't really know who he is. You're not getting drawing closer to him. You don't have any more confidence about him. Do you know that there are men that died to translate the Bible into English? They died. They gave their lives. William Tyndale was one of these guys. He gave his life to translate the Bible into the language so that we could understand it. We could have a Bible. You have a Bible. Listen, this is the age where we are saturated with Bible now. We are saturated with Bible. We've got Bibles. We can get Bibles anywhere. People are giving out Bibles. We've got Bibles on our iPads, iPhones, even Blackberries. You got, listen, everything. What about, are you using that time to get to know Jesus? What we're saying is that you're being conformed but not transformed. What do I mean by conformed? The outside of you is changing, but not the inside. The outside of you is changing. You're being conformed but not transformed. Let me give you some scriptures. The Bible says, Romans 12 verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. So the Bible says that the world conforms you. But the Bible didn't say do not conform to the world, but be conformed. No, it says do not be conformed in a negative to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 4 verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. What does the Bible show us out of these three scriptures? God really is more concerned about the inner you than the outer you. I know we're concerned about the outer. We're concerned about what we wear and how we put it, what we put on it. But God is like, listen, Christianity is all about the inner you. It's not about conforming. Let me give you another illustration of conforming. How many know what jelly is? You know what jelly? Jelly, little kids love jelly. I used to love jelly when I was a kid. And so you, I remember seeing my mom or somebody, I think it was my mom, she would make us jelly. And so you get these little cubes of jelly and you could just bite that. And I used to just nick them and eat them. And so that's just not even in my notes, but just let you know that sharing. And so basically you get these cubes and you break them off and you, I think you put them in hot water. Is that right? Those jelly connoisseurs looking for confirmation. And so basically you make this jelly, and so it's hot. It's like a liquid, and you pour it into a mold. And so the mold, I saw on the internet, you have a mold that looks like a rabbit. It looks like a bunny rabbit. That's what they called it, a bunny rabbit jelly mold. And so you pour the jelly in, so the jelly's going into there. It's all liquid. You put it in the fridge. It basically solidifies. It becomes solid. And so then you turn it over and you pull it out, and that jelly has conformed to the mold of the bunny rabbit. So when you look at it, it looks like a bunny rabbit. It's conformed, but it's not a bunny rabbit. It's still jelly. It hasn't transformed. It's not like you poured it in and you put it in the freezer and then you took it out and you open it and a bunny rabbit. That's transformed. Basically, the substance of what it is has stayed the same. It's just changed its shape. It's changed its outer. And that's what the Bible says, is there are people, they come into church, and what they do is they see a mold. They look at how we dress. They look at how we speak. They look at what we do. They've seen the pastor or the pastor's wife. And so what it is they start to mimic. And there's nothing wrong with being discipled. There's nothing wrong. But the issue is they're not actually learning what has actually changed the pastor or the pastor's wife. They haven't actually looked at how does the pastor and the pastor's wife actually know Jesus. Maybe if I walk like him and talk like him, if I wear certain shoes and wear a dress a certain way, you've conformed. And sometimes, you know, people can, let me tell you this now, sometimes, and it's just the way it is, in church, sometimes we force people to conform before they're transformed. And that's why they keep falling and failing. Because we force them, hey, how come you're not doing this? How come you're not doing that? How come you're not doing this? And yeah, we need to learn how to communicate why we do what we do. So people can actually learn why we do what we do. And why we do what we do, I say every sermon. I didn't say it today, but usually I say it. It's all about Jesus. Because reason why I say that most services to convince people, listen, everything we do here, we're not just having church for having church sake. It's all about Jesus. Judas was a man that was conformed but was not transformed. What it means is the inside of you is still the same. On the outside, you look sanctified, man. Like, too sanctified. If there's such a position. Too holy. And many times, let me give you a little tester here. Many times, people that are only conformed and not transformed, they're the people that have to work at looking the most sanctified. They're the people that will say more. Hey, to let you know, listen, I am. How do we see this in here, in Judas's thing, in the text. The Bible says there's a woman, and she breaks this this perfume over Jesus. And so he looks at it and says, listen, Jesus, that could have been sold and given to the poor. Oh my days, he sounds really spiritual. Like he really cares for the poor. Like really Jesus should have been ashamed. Like, oh, you know what? You're right, Jesus. I just always wanted loads of perfume. You're right. No. The Bible says he said that not because he cared for the poor. Because he was a thief. He was stealing the money. See, in Jesus, each person had the ministry with Jesus. And Jesus gave Judas the responsibility of holding the money for the group. So people would invest in Jesus' ministry. That's how Jesus operated. People were investing in his ministry. And so they would get the money. And so he's holding the money, but he's robbing the money. So you think about this now. Here is this man acting like a disciple, but he still loves money. See, this is the problem. Is that when you conform, you're not challenging your inner man. You're not changing. You're still the same. The same desires. You still have the exact same desires. You're the same person. He loved money before he met Jesus. And he loves money when he's running with Jesus. He's got the same values. He hasn't changed on the inside. This is why some people say they've backslidden. They never slid forward to go back. You didn't backslide. You didn't get saved to backslide. You just was conformed. You started to pretend. Like for a while, act like a Christian. And then the real you came out. And listen, I'm not dissing anybody. That's not a diss. That's just, I'm trying to give you an adequate prognosis of what actually has happened. I believe probably so many people that we claim backslide were never saved. You can't backslide easy like that. Listen, if you could backslide easy like that, I would have backslid a long time. I would have been out of it a long time. Because let me tell you this, why I say that is because if I just say, oh, no, they backslid, but I made it. That makes like me, I'm the man. Like, yeah, I can do what you can't do. No, the only reason I'm here is God's kept me. Amen. Because I gave my life to him. When you truly give your life to Jesus, he don't lose you. When you truly give your life to Jesus, you think that Jesus is like some sort of walking around like how we lose our keys. Like, yeah, they got saved, they was in church for 3 months, and then Jesus lost them. What kind of God is that? That he would lose people so easily? No. I'm not saying that people cannot backslide. We know they can backslide because the Bible speaks about salt that loses its flavor. The Bible speaks about people that have gone forward. We spoke about a scripture the other day that you've been cleaned and then a spirit comes and looks for you. So I'm not discrediting a legitimate backsliding. There is backsliding. But what we see here is the reality that many people are conformed. We see that this man loves money because he despised to see this woman break this lavish expense on Jesus. He hates it. That rubs him the wrong way. When you see people that are really worshiping God and really going for God, how does it affect you? How does it really affect you? Do you feel jealous with people, or do you celebrate when people are doing well and loving God? How does it make you feel when someone just got, hey, how does it make you feel when people even talk, hey, you know what, praise God, I love Jesus and these things. Or what when people challenge you? Hey, I don't think you should do that, you know. We're Christians. Hey, who are you talking to? Not praise God. You know what, I wasn't even thinking about that. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. You know what? Yeah, you know, yeah, I need to get on it a little bit. Praise God. Thank you, man. You've bucked me up a bit. No one is above it. There is a time and place. The Bible speaks about not rebuking an elder. So if you just run up to someone, yeah, let me just deal with you. No, you're a rebel. The Bible says he was a thief. And we know that he loved money because he sold Jesus out for money. He sold Jesus out for money. See, what this will do is when you're just running, letting the clock run out with Jesus. I've been in church a year. I've been in church 2 years. Okay, that's good. And we thank God for people that come faithfully and give faithfully and participate faithfully. We're so grateful for that. But let me tell you this. The reality is that are you using those years to get to know Jesus more? Are you functioning on autopilot? Do you come to church and like, yeah, I've heard it all before, I'm ready for it? If you feel like that, what you're becoming is a hypocrite. You're showing something on the outside what's not on the inside. Judas looked the part, and we know that because no one suspected him. Jesus made some comments. Listen, Jesus says in John 6 verse 70, Jesus answered them and said, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? Think about that now. No, when Jesus said that, no one went, Judas. Judas. No one suspected it was Judas. At the end, Jesus says in Matthew 26 verse 21, now, as we were eating... So as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say it to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? Know what he said? When he said, one of you is going to betray me, no one said, yeah, of course, it's him. Nobody said that. They were shocked. So this would mean they looked at Judas, and they didn't even suspect him for a moment that he would betray Jesus. That's so scary that we could look at one another. A hypocrite is one that is doing things in secret that they know are wrong, and they would never do it in public. Luke 22 verse 47, and while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, And he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. We understand this whole picture here. Well, after Jesus has been praying in the garden. And so Judas is already gone to sell Jesus. He's received the money. He's going to sell out Jesus. He sees Jesus and he publicly kisses him. Judas, you've just come from betraying him. You've just come from, there's money in your pocket right now, Judas, because you betrayed the Son of Man, and you have the audacity to come into public place and kiss him. When there is a great crowd, the Bible says, a multitude, Judas kisses Jesus. Are you betraying in secret, but kissing in public? That we will do things in the secret, that people will do sexual sin in the secret Saturday night and then come into the house of God on the Sunday, lift their hands and kiss Jesus publicly. People are lying and feel no conviction. Listen, at least I've got time for people that they make mistakes, they slip, and you know, it's almost like you have to bring them back to church. Call them up. Hey, what's going on, sis? What's going on, bro? Oh, pastor, I've messed up. Okay, let's work with you. Let's try to bring you back. There's something there. There's something there. That's a reality. I'm not given a license for sin. If you go and do that, then listen, you might end up in hell. But at least the one that scares me is that one that is sinning and then comes into the house of God. Praise God. Wrap me in your arms. Worship you. Glory. Holy. Love you, God. How's things? How you doing? I'm doing fine. You sure? Couldn't have been better. We're not talking about someone who's recently been saved. What about people that have been in church for years? Saying things in secret. Doing things in secret you would never do in public. You would never say that in a public setting. You find people that will, in secret, they always pull new people into their crowd. They pull new converts into their crowd because a new convert don't know up from down. New convert just in the house, man. Praise God. Hallelujah, man. I don't know what's going on. Listen, when I got saved, I thought everybody was just perfect. I thought no one was like me. Everyone was perfect. I thought I was just wicked and nasty. That was me. I was like, yeah, these people are not like me. And then after a while, I realized they're just like me. Thank God. Amen. So a new convert don't know nothing. And you bring in a new convert. And you... Talking things, saying things. Yeah, I don't really believe that. Yeah, I'm not really with that. I'm not really with the church that long. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this anyway, you know. You're a traitor. You're a hypocrite. You're becoming a hypocrite. Let me tell you this. The reality is, hypocrisy is our mother tongue. Do you know that? You know what mother tongue means? Means that that's really your first language. If you was born in Mexico and you la 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 la, and then you come here and we teach you English, Mexican is your mother tongue. That's your mother tongue. Hypocrisy is our mother tongue. There's not one of us here that is not a born again hypocrite. There's not one of us that doesn't have to battle with hypocrisy. There's not one of us here that doesn't feel that hypocrite spirit crawling up us and trying to put its claws into our heart. And let me tell you, the higher you go up, if there's such a thing as that, the longer you're saved, the easier it is to become one. The hypocrite has a secret agenda. The secret agenda. The hypocrite has a secret agenda. What it means is the hypocrite will pretend that they're with you because really they believe if they're with you, they're going to achieve something with you. See, I don't know what the agenda fully was that Judas wanted. Maybe he thought that Jesus' ministry was going to explode and finances were just going to come in and he was just going to be rolling in the money. I don't know if he thought Jesus, he saw Jesus and the popularity of Jesus. So basically he wanted that popularity. He knew there was going to be men that were going to be under him because he was with Jesus. There are people that come in, maybe your agenda is marriage. So you'll conform. Maybe your agenda is money. You hear testimonies about people getting blessed and having money. So you'll conform. Maybe your agenda is position. Because you've come in and you see men speaking to other men over other men. So it's like, really and truly, you've never had a position. So now you want a position. So this is a driving factor. The scary thing is this could be the driving factor why some people want ministry. Because they want to be able to tell people what to do. How sad is that? How far are you going to allow that spirit to push you? Some people just trying to get promoted. They're just trying to work their way through the system, I guess. Are you called? I don't know, but I'm just going to pretend like I'm called because I'm just going to get my way through the system. Because the top of the pole is the pastor. No, sir. The bottom of the pole. But what? This is when the hypocrite's exposed. When your agenda, when you no longer think your agenda is going to be met. What when you've been here a while and you think, I'm still not married yet, and it doesn't look like I'm going to get married here? I'm still working in this dead-end job. God has still not given me money yet. I came in, I heard that people were getting blessed there. I need money. I want money. I want ministry. I want to be telling people what to do. No matter, doesn't even matter that I'm not doing anything. I'm not making any disciples. I'm not loving people or serving people or making any influence. But give me a badge. When your agenda is not going to be met, we're going to see the real you. Do you know what God will do sometimes? What God will do is to expose who you are. It's not that he wasn't never going to meet your agenda, but sometimes he's going to mess things up. So you want to boss people about, then God's going to actually put you in a position where now you're being bossed about. Because God's saying, let me see you. You're like, oh yeah, I'm only here for a wife. Everyone's getting married around you. How are you going to handle that? Everybody's getting a job around you. How are you going to handle that? Or you fill in the blanks. Because God wants to know what you're about. He wants to know what you're made of. He doesn't want you just to conform. He wants you to be transformed. Let me close with this. The saddest thing about Judas's life is lost opportunities. He lost the opportunity to know the best man that ever lived. Oh my days. He lost the opportunity to spend time with Jesus and to get to know Jesus and to follow Jesus and to really take in. He not only lost that, he lost the opportunities to repent. See, he was doing wrong. Figure when Jesus stood up and said, listen, I've chosen you, the 12, but one of you is a devil. At that point, he could have been like, he's talking about me. Jesus, can I speak to you after service? Could have gone to Jesus, listen, you know what? See when you sent me to buy that bread the other day? I took some of the shekels and I've been storing them in this little double pocket thing going on. Jesus would have gave him grace and mercy. When Jesus stood up and said, listen, one of you is going to betray me. And they all said, is it I? He said it as well. Is it I? Why didn't he just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I've lost my mind. I'm involved in sexual sin. I'm involved in thieving. I'm involved in rebellion. I'm lost in my pride. I'm struggling. Jesus, will you help me? Jesus, you remember you prayed for that guy and you said, does he believe? And he said, I believe, help my unbelief. That's me as well. He lost the opportunity to find grace in the source of grace. He was the closest to grace and mercy. He was with grace and mercy embodied. Embodied grace and mercy with legs and hands. And he was there and he lost the opportunity. Let me say this and make a statement. People will go to hell not because of God and because he's a lack of grace and mercy. They will go to hell for all eternity because they've rejected that grace and that mercy. Let me say this now. On the day of judgment, if there is anybody in my family who has rejected Jesus, I will not charge God for damning them. I will look them in the eye and say, you chose. He gave you mercy. He gave you grace. He gave you mercy and grace. Judas, but they don't. No, even when grace and mercy are so close to them, you live with someone who's saved. You know people that are saved. You know people that are on fire for God. People have tried to speak to you and warn you. Sermon after sermon after sermon. God is trying to reach you. Or every Sunday, Wednesday, even beyond that, he's trying to reach you. He's drawn so close to you. And you've hardened your heart. Lost opportunity. He lost the opportunity and became hopeless. There's going to come a time when you're going to need Jesus. And if you haven't used those opportunities that God gave you, it's going to be too late. Ever thought about this? People ask me this all the time. Pastor, you know, when people die and they go to hell, you know, I haven't figured everything out. I'm not going to say that. But what if God calls everybody 3-4 times? I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know when is my third or my fourth time. What if your fourth time, or let's just use me. Many times before I got saved, I heard the gospel, but I hardened my heart. I remember going into a church when I was at school. A guy in my school invited me to this church. And I went to this church and they did an altar call. And they called me up to the front. And a guy actually came and put his hand on my shoulder and said, would you like to receive Christ? And something in me said, you need to receive him. You need to receive him. You need to receive him. And I thought, no, man, there's people here, man. What are they going to think of me? No, I don't need him. Move along. Do you know what? I never felt convicted for years after that. It's not like that kept coming every week. For years later, I'd went headlong into sin. That was probably when I was about 15. And I never felt the conviction again for years. What if that was my second try? At 22, I walk into a church again. And I feel convicted again, just like I did when I was 15. Just exact same conviction. The altar call is going, and this time I say, listen, I got to respond. I do not want to die and go to hell. I do not want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die, go to hell. And I accepted. I didn't even know what I was doing. It was like the whole place went empty and it was just me and God. I couldn't escape it. And I responded. What if that was my last chance? What if instead of going right, serving Christ, I'd have gone left? Met up with a friend the next week, went to a rave, got into an argument, and got stabbed in the neck. And you say, Pastor, that's a bit... Because I know people that's happened to. I know people that's happened to. Friend of mine went out, went to argue with the bouncer. The bouncer punched him in the face. He fell over, banged his head, bam, dead. Just went out to a rave. That was it. We look at life and think, oh, we've got all the time in the world, every opportunity. No, the saddest thing, lost opportunities. This is the saddest thing. He lost his opportunity. And he had nowhere to run to. Now you may think, oh, yeah, but he was just wicked anyway. He never felt nothing. There's a wicked, bad mind, Judas. No. He actually did feel something because, listen, Matthew 27 verse 3, when Judas, his betrayer, seeing what he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. Judas, after they gave him the money, he goes to Jesus, he kisses Jesus, they arrest him. Something in him starts to feel, I've done wrong, man. I've done wrong. Problem is, when you've had lost opportunities, where do you go to? Saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And he's gone to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's gone to these guys that gave him the silver. And they said, what is that to do with us? You see to it. And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He betrays Jesus. He feels condemned. He goes back to the religion. He goes back to the temple. He goes back to religion. He says, I'm sorry. They say, listen, we can't help you. He throws the money down. Sometimes the very thing that you've sold out Jesus for gives you no pleasure at all. The Bible says he goes to them and repents. If you read it in the King, he repented. He goes to them, I'm sorry. Problem is, he's going to the wrong people. See, when sin collapses in on you, religion is not going to help you. And the whole time he was in church, he never got to know who Jesus was and what his mission was. And that's why he couldn't go to Jesus. He didn't know that Jesus would have forgiven him. If he would have repented, Jesus would have forgiven him. But he didn't know Jesus. He spent all this time, but he never knew him. Let's ask three questions. Very quickly, are you running the clock or are you getting to know Jesus? Are you running the clock out or are you getting to know Jesus? Are you just around religion or are you getting to know Jesus? Are you being conformed or being transformed? Are you being conformed or transformed? Meaning, are you seeking God for new desires and new values? Are your desires changing? Are you a hypocrite? Are you involved in things that you know are just wrong and just covering it? The last question, will you use the opportunities that God has given you today to get some things right? Or will it be a lost opportunity? there is coming a time when God is going to test all of us. There is a trial coming. There is a storm coming. There is a shaking. It comes to all of us. And what we're all doing is preparing for it. That's what we're doing. We're all preparing for it. But that's what we're doing. We're living our life for Jesus, preparing. If you know anything about athletics, people that are good, like 100 meters, they do athletics, 200 meters, I don't know what they do. All of this stuff. They're always training, aren't they? Always training, going to the gym, training. Could be naturally fast. They're eating good, doing exercises, training. Constantly training, training, training. And they train for some events. But some of these events, they're called trials. They're training for trials. Because they know the trials are coming. All the trial is that, let's use the fastest. Every single one of you here should be training for your trial. Because your trial is coming. Your trial is going to come. I don't know what shape or size it's going to be. The trial is going to come. And all your Bible reading, and all your praying, and all that you're doing for Jesus is the exercises to prepare yourself. Are you taking the opportunities? I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.